give you all the glory, Lord. All right. So tonight we're going to be talking about faith for healing. Faith for healing. And we'd like to welcome everyone, both in person and online, to receive this word from God. Amen. From the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. So if you're online for the first time, let us know. I know we got various platforms that work out there, so just tell us where you're from, or tell us. They'll put up information how you can connect with us and throughout the message, and tell us how you can connect with us further. And perhaps even if you have a prayer request, you can put that information out there as well, and for us to connect with you. So let's get in the Word of God and learn some and receive some things tonight about faith for healing. And so the context and the theme that we're going to bring out, and it's just, this is, you can say it's part one, because we're going to continue this theme next week as the Lord directs. But I want you to take your three big takeaways. Is faith for healing comprises of three big faith activities, or three big faith actions. And we call it three R's, which is receiving. And then there's an aspect of faith where you have to do some resisting. Oh, man, you have to do some resisting. You know, because that's your fight of faith. Because the enemy is not going to want to take sickness off of you and want sickness to leave off. He's going to try to bring it back on you. C. Nelson said this one time. He said, most people, and Kenneth E. Hagin quoted that and attested to that, along with Oral Roberts and other major healing ministers of days gone past. They said, most Christians lose their healing more from a counterattack than the original attack. Because some people receive their healing and it's lost because they didn't resist the counterattack. They didn't deal with the devil trying to bring it back on them. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more aspect. We'll maybe touch on a little bit tonight, but they'll be, you know, in this context of faith for healing, because we're going to work this for a couple of weeks. And then rejoicing, because there is a praise cure that we need to employ on occasions. And Peter says the bridge by the Holy Spirit, the bridge between believing and receiving is rejoicing. And Andrew Murray once said, joy and rejoicing are the serious business of heaven. So if you're in serious business to receive your healing or receive anything else from God, we're just talking about and emphasizing healing, but anything else from God, you need to be made doubling up on your rejoicing. You need to be very intentional and inspirational in your rejoicing. You know, rejoicing on purpose. We know the scriptures, a couple of them that comes to mind. Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always. And then Philippians, it says, rejoice in the Lord at all times. What does that mean? We should be rejoicing all the time. Amen. That means we're conducting business seriously all the time. All right, so give us some weeks, a couple of weeks, to 2 or 3 weeks to work this in and encapsulate this big concept, this very important concept of faith for healing. So tonight we're going to be talking about the basic fundamentals of receiving. I'm going to give you four steps. We're going to examine the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to take four points that are principles and patterns that for us to practice that ensure us that we can receive anywhere or anything from God by faith. Now, we're emphasizing healing because we're extrapolating on her account and her story. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. So this we'll pick up in Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 34. And it says to us in verse 21, Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21, and it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boats to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogues came, Jairus by name, and when he had saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live." Now, he was risking a lot because he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he was basically getting ready to throw his career away because he bowed to another priest who had been kicked out of the priesthood or temple church. And so he's trying to get Jesus, who he knew had the power to do it, to come over his house. So he's risking everything coming to Jesus and falling at his feet. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now we'll pick up with the woman here. She inserts here. Now Mark's account has more details on it than Luke and Matthew. Matthew and Luke have fewer verses about the woman with the issue, but this is the most we have on her account in those three synoptic accounts of the Gospels. So this is what we're using today to learn and glean from. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now notice she had it for 12, so it's a long reoccurring condition. And it suffered how many things? Many things from how many doctors? Many physicians. Now if you may be online or maybe here and you say, "Man, I've been going through the circus, like a circuit through different doctors and different referrals and different diagnoses and different specialists." So she had a bad situation going. And she spent all she had and was nothing better but grew worse. Now she's broke now. She got no money. And she heard about Jesus and came behind him and in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" I mean, they were actually packed around Jesus. Everybody was touching him, but only one touch was in faith. So we're talking about faith for healing. So he looked around her to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Notice Jesus didn't brag and boast on himself or say, "My power did it, my anointing did it." It was the anointing that was on him that removed the boy. But he credited who? Her faith. And we're going to learn something about that in just a second. "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Amen. This is a beautiful account. So four steps, real simply. Faith steps and practices to receive healing by faith. Now, this is something you may need, or somebody in your family or your sphere of influence may need ministered to. You may need to minister to somebody. Okay, first step, say it. Everybody say it with me, say it. Come on now, come on, church. First step, say it.
Say it.
Say it. So you have to speak the desired end result. That's where most folks kind of get lost in it. You have to speak the desired end results. So we say it this way: don't say what you see, say what you want to see. Oh my God, this stuff. Because a lot of people just say what they see or say how they feel. And that's not faith starting off.
That's right.
Now, remember the acronym we gave you several weeks ago, and we repeated it several times, but it bears repeating right now at this point. FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. It's broken down into two different aspects. It's holistic. It's a big subject. You know, we can spend the rest of the year talking about faith and never exhaust the subject. But faith, simply defined, just for simplistic sake, is full assurance in the heart. F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart. F-A-I-T-H also is a lettered acronym that means F, focus on the promise. Because that's why you say what you want to see, which is what you want to see is what God has promised, which his promises are his provision. So if he says, by whose stripes you were healed, then you say what God has said and promised. According to the word of God, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. So I say I'm healed. Not because I feel it, not because I look like it, or the doctor told me I was. I say it because God said it. Amen. With full assurance in your heart, you say the promise. Amen. You say the word. A is basically ask, or in this case, we say. You have to pray it, or you have to say it. If you pray it, you still have to say it. So you still have to say it. Because some people pray in Jesus' name, amen, and the healing process starts, but then they short-circuit it, and they squander the process and squelch it by saying something different once they walk away from the prayer. Amen. They get in the car and they feel something. They say what they say what they see. Don't look like it's getting better. I'm still hurting. Well, you're saying what you feel. You're not speaking in faith. Amen? So you ask. A is ask God for what you want or need. And then I is imagine. You got to see yourself healed. You got to conceive and have that mental picture and spiritual faith picture of the end result. I see me as healed.
Amen.
If you don't see yourself healed, then you're not seeing well enough. Because that's what meditation produces. Meditation leads to revelation, which means full, clear spiritual vision, and revelation leads to results. Has to be clear. Your imagination has to be clear. If you're imagining defeat, if you're imagining the disease crawling all over you and shackling you for the rest of your life, then you have the wrong or the evil imagination of the enemy. So we got F-A-I, right? T is what? T is your Thanksgiving life. We're going to major on that when we talk about rejoicing. Thanksgiving. You got to be giving thanks. Now, here's the big clincher with T. If you believe that you received your healing, what would you be doing? You'd be thanking him for. Now, notice how I said that. Because the Holy Spirit said that to Kenneth E. Hagin when he was 17 years old on the bed, raised up off a bed of affliction. He said, if you believe that you received your healing, then you would thank me for it. Most people say, well, I'm waiting until the manifestation of my healing before I thank him. No, you thank him when you believe that you received your healing. Now, some people say, well, I'm waiting until I got it. I get it before I thank him that I got it. Well, that's not faith. That's facts. And that's feelings. And that's where we have to make the shift. You have to thank God when you pray. Amen. When you believe you receive, when you pray, you have to thank him for it. And so that's really what we call the switch of faith. That means like when we cut the light switch off, it goes dark. You keep the light on, or you keep the flow of faith going and growing in your life by what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanking you, Lord. I thank you that I believe. You don't see it. You don't. There's no evidence of it. You don't feel it change anyway, but you're thanking him for it.
Amen.
Amen. From genuinely from the heart, you're thanking him. So we said F-A-I-T, and then H is hold on to your confession. You can't cancel it, and you shouldn't change it. Hold on to your confession. Because the devil's going after your mind so he can upset and change your mouth. Because we said you got to keep a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. You got to. What are you gripping? You're gripping the promises. What, like God told Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from where? Your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I mean, it's really, when you think about it from a legal standpoint, spiritually speaking, it's illegal for us to say something different than what God has said. Because Jesus told us the example and showed us the example. I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. So when I start giving my opinion and start giving my fact reports and my feeling reports, expressions, then I'm contradicting the Word of God and I'm snaring myself and I'm stopping my healing. I'm stopping my receiving. That's good stuff. Amen? You got to speak the end result. Now let's look at Matthew 21:19-22. And seeing the fig tree by the road, we look at an example here, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. He was looking for figs. So now, and he said to it, now notice he spoke to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree, what? Withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled. Man, they impressed. Saying, how long did the fig tree wither away? So how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Jesus spoke to stuff. Guess what? You're going to have to speak to stuff. So Jesus answered and said to him, assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Condition is there. If you have faith, we just explain F-A-I-T-H, and do not doubt or waver or change, you will not only do what is done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And what things you ask, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will what? Receive. Believing you will receive. Now let's look at another example. Mark 11:23. Many of us are familiar with it. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So we got to think about it. Am I receiving? Because part of the steps of receiving by faith, in this case we're emphasizing faith for healing, is that we are saying things. We are speaking to things.
Yes. Amen.
And think about through your day, and think about through your week so thus far, how many things have you spoken to?
Amen.
Whoever says to you, I say unto you, this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done. Three times he says, he will have whatever he says. He didn't say you have whatever you desire and dream about and think about. He said you have what you say. You can have what you say.
Amen.
Now, Pastor, I want a well batty. Well, Jesus told you have what you say. So start where you are and start having what you say. And when you begin to say, you're on your way.
Amen.
Did you know when you speak to things, you can speak to your heart? You can speak to your liver. You can speak to your lungs. You can speak to your kidneys. You can say, my heart beats with the rhythm of life. You don't go around saying, well, I got chest pains. I can't hardly breathe. I'm tired. I'm something wrong. And you run to the doctor, and he's just saying how you feel in doctor speech. science speech. He's not necessarily scriptural speaking. Thank God for doctors. But you need to be saying something to your heart. You need to be saying something to your kidneys. You need to be saying something to your lungs. You need to be saying something to your muscles, your nerves. You got this stuff running down through your family. I don't know if I'm cutting in and out, but running down through your family of dementia and Alzheimer's. Man, you should be speaking every day to your brain. Don't just let the doctor speak to you about it. You speak to it.
Amen.
So in other words, we have to speak to the its in our lives, or the its will speak to us.
Amen.
We have to speak to sickness or disease, and not just speak about sickness and disease. Some people are so informed about coronavirus, but they've never spoken to and against coronavirus. He says, speak to the mountain. Come on now. Some people can speak articulately, almost on a medical doctor level, about their disease or the diagnosis that they're carrying, but they've never spoken to it.
Amen. Come on,
Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Jesus told us that we have what we say, not just say what we have. In 1974, in Hickory, North Carolina, Charles Capps had a revelation or visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I told my people they can have what they say, and all they're doing is just saying what they have. And from 1974 to 2020, a large majority of people are doing the same thing. Instead of having what they say, they're saying what they have. Amen. See, it's not come what may. It should be come what we say. When sickness grows up on your doorbell, rolls up on your doorstep and rings your doorbell and says, I'm coming to enter you and torment you for the rest of your life. You say, I didn't call you. You speak to it. You talk back to it. I didn't call you here. I didn't call you dementia. I didn't call you Alzheimer's. I didn't call you blindness. I didn't call you memory loss. I didn't call you back spasm and back pains. I didn't call you bone muscular degeneration. Degenerative joint disease. I didn't call you. Hallelujah. See, we must release our faith and authority that we have in Christ by speaking the end results we desire to see. In other words, we say what we want to see. That's faith. And don't just say what we see presently. That's facts or feelings. See, we speak the revealed truths of God's word into the facts of our feelings and current conditions so that the facts will change. So we don't deny the facts, or we don't deny the feelings because they're real. But what does faith do? It takes the truth of God's word and speaks them into the facts.
Amen.
He said, speak to the mountains. That's your facts. That's your feelings. You speak to it, and then that mountain shall obey you. I mean, in other words, those feelings, those facts shall obey you. You can remove that stuff out of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when Jesus spoke to the desired results, when he cursed the fig tree, he was giving a faith command. As far as he was concerned, the tree was finished. It died and started withering away the moment he spoke and turned and walked away. Now notice he didn't mince or have to dispense a whole lot of words. you know, being religious about it. And frothing at the mouth. Ah, you tree, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come down. I call you down. I break you down. I speak to you limbs and leaves and bark. I command you to wither up and drop. No, he didn't waste all that religious mumbo jumbo. He just spoke in authority. What he heard his father say. No more fruit will ever come up from you again. And it withered up, dried up from the roots. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, we can do that with that cancer. Come on now. Come on with that disease, with that diagnosis. You can cause it to wither up and dry up by the roots. It starts by you stepping into the arena to say it. Remember, because if your faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth before it will ever be strong enough to move your mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was his first step. So he said, you could do this too, guys. He didn't say, this is just me doing this. Because whose faith do we have? We have the same faith that God has that was given to Jesus. We got the same quality, same measure, the same kind of faith that we have. He has, God has. What we do with it is up, not up to God, it's up to us. So Jesus, our Lord, expects us to walk in his faith and do the same thing. Amen. Because he didn't give you a defective and diseased faith. He gave you divine faith. Amen. And we, like we said before, faith will work for anybody because he said, whosoever. And he said, he shall have whatsoever. So faith will work for anybody and will work on anything.
Amen.
And faith works the same in any sphere, in any realm. So these 4 points can apply to the financial realm and family realm and other stuff. Now look at Mark chapter 5, 28. See her saying it, using this principle. For she kept saying, Amplified Classic says it a little bit more clearer, she kept saying, if I touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. So she did what? She maintained her confession. Now, if you understand culture, a little bit about the culture back then, it was against, as we would call it today in today's pandemic, quarantine rules. She was supposed to be self-quarantined. She was not supposed to even come out to public. It was a death sentence for her to be caught in public with that kind of issue. Now, you may not have an issue of blood, but you may have other issues. Where the devil threatens you to say, don't go outside, don't go do that, don't you say that. Because religion teaches, well, the devil might hear you if you say it. You might put it on you. You know the allergy season's up, and you might get the flu. You might get the flu and never come out of it. Then you get the coronavirus, and then you're on a ventilator, and then you got all these wild imaginations going. And don't you think the devil was messing with her head, saying it's against the law for you to come outside with the flow of blood like you have? It's against rule. If you caught, they can kill you and stone you to death, woman. Don't you go outside. But what does she keep on saying? If I touch his clothes, I will be healed. I will be made whole. Come on now. Come on. She maintained her confession. In the face of contradictory circumstances, she's kept on saying it. See, there's a Godward side and a manward side to every battle, every victory, to everything that we receive from God. So in other words, God's got his part. We might have our part. We have our part to play. Or you might say it this way. We have our part to either pray or say. So we have our part to play or part to say. There's nothing... There's something that we must do. God is not going to fail. And in fact, he's too faithful to fail.
Amen.
Healing, as we said it before, always comes. It is not, however, always received. Power is present everywhere. Well, how could you say that, Pastor? Because God is everywhere. You got to remember that the divine attributes of God, you know, are expressed in three really prominent areas. He's omniscient, that means he's all-knowing, and he's omnipresent, that means he's everywhere present. So if God is everywhere present, and the Bible even says in Proverbs he's an everywhere beholding evil and the good, so God's everywhere. You can be at the Timbuktu off a cliff somewhere, hanging in the life's balance, but God is there. Because the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, in Hades, thou art there. He said he's acquainted with all my ways. So God knows exactly where you are, exactly what's going on in your body, exactly what's going on in your life. Come on now. God knows, and he is there. And he's not there, just powerless. Because the other attribute he has is omnipotent. That means he's all power. The Bible says in the Psalms that power belongs to God. That means nobody has outpowered God. Nobody's got more power than God. So he's everywhere present, and power is everywhere. The potential. So that means you can get healed at home. You can get healed in church. You can get healed in your car. Come on now. You can get healed in your shower. Praise God. You can keep it healed while you're doing your yard work. You can get healed anytime and anywhere.
Amen.
So anytime, anywhere, you can believe and receive your healing. We've got something that saw glimpses of this. I mean, we've been in different places, not in our normal routine. I've been at work times when you know pain hits you, a problem hits you. Man, you act in faith, God's right there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But in the same part, if we're defeated, we are defeated with our own lips. Look at what Proverbs 6:2 says, Amplified Classic. Very bears it out a little bit more detailish. It says, you are snared with the words of your lips. So what's snaring you? 1 inch below your nose. It's not the devil, because life and death are in the power of your tongue. They're under control of your tongue. You have what you say. Amen? He said, you are snared with the words of your lips, Proverbs 6:2, and you are caught by the speech of your mouth. How are you captured or caught? By the speech of your mouth. Now, if you study the account in Matthew 12, Jesus told us idle words or vain, unproductive words. Sometimes we can spend a lot of our words. They say, men and women speak different amounts of words a day, just in a gender differentiation there, but you got to think about of the thousands of words you speak every day, either man or woman, how many of them are vain, non-productive, or we would say powerless. I mean, powerless, that means they're not producing for you or making things better for you. They are actually draining you and paining you and causing you future problems. Because your words set things in motion. That's why we said the essential act and ingredient of the spirit of faith is speaking. But most people are kind of lazy and casual. And they have loose lips. And they just say anything. And it's easy to succumb to your feelings and say how you feel or say what you see, what the facts are around you, when you're casual with your confession and with your faith. He said, you're snared by your words of your lips, and you're caught by the speech of your mouth. According to Mark 11:3, we have what we say when it meets two conditions. Jesus set the principle there, that we believe in our heart, that we don't doubt in our heart. That means it's got to be in your heart. You can't just say anything because some people go to the other extreme. They try to blab everything. Well, I'm perfectly healthy. Well, is it in your heart first? Because remember, we define F-A-I-T-H in a little bit more detail tonight. So you got to have that in your heart. Your focus is on the promise, not just what you heard somebody say, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? It's got to be in your heart. You don't just say any old thing. You say what you believe in your heart. He said, but shall not doubt in his heart. But what? Believe. Believe where? In the heart. Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you got to have it in your heart. So if you're not in faith, or if faith is not in your heart presently, how do you get it? Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. So we said last Sunday, we even said this Sunday, he said you need to take your faith up another level. Your feeding level needs to go up to another level. That means if you're just only reading a few scriptures a day, particularly if you're facing a health challenge, just keeping in that vein, then you need to be feeding 10, 15 healing scriptures intentionally every day. Why? Because you need to feed your faith and grow your faith. Remember, your faith level determines your victory level. What determines your victory level? Your faith level determines your victory level. So you got to put more faith in. Faith comes by hearing. So you need to be listening to faith-filled messages. Amen. Like when Pastor Cynthia and I were in Arkansas with her precious mother, and we were listening. Man, there's so much stuff I was feeding on. I was telling Pastor Cynthia, I said, man, I heard that. I've heard it before a few times, but, man, it seems like I've heard that for the very first time. Because when you're feeding, when you're in that immersion-saturated environment, man, you get revelation coming because faith comes. And then you're ready to say.
Amen.
Because how does she get faith? She heard of Jesus. And in fact, she probably kept hearing, man, this miracle worker, this life changer, come on now, the Messiah, the anointed one, he's been healing the sick, he's been casting out devils, he's been raising the dead, he's been performing miracles, and she heard it, and faith came into her heart. And then she said, for she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. And then you had to believe your words. Because he said what? Shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith. So you're not shooting blanks. You're not speaking shallow or hollow words. Your faith-filled words are dominating the laws of sin and death, which sickness and disease run off of. Because sickness is a form of physical death. We talked about that last time. Amen. So your faithful words are dominating now. Amen. Step number two, do it. Do it. Do it. Say it, then do it. So it would have done this woman no good, any good whatsoever, if she'd have said, if I may touch but his clothes, and I shall be whole, if she hadn't acted upon it also. Faith is an act. Faith is our belief in action. Our actions either defeat us or they put us over.
Amen.
Let your actions back up your words. Her faith moved her mouth and then her feet. Because the Bible says she came in the press behind him. She didn't stay at the house just blabbing out a few confessions and trying to stay comfortable. She got uncomfortable because, remember, she was under the threat of stoned to death or being sentenced for violating the quarantine laws of that time because she had an issue of blood. She was not supposed to be in public. And then if you add the cultural aspect of you can't just reach up and grab a priest, particularly if you got blood running from you.
Amen.
She was violating the death sentence for the cultural law back then. But she came in the press. She didn't worry about all the crowd throwing him. She came, her faith moved her mouth, and then it moved her feet, and she came in the press behind him and touched his garment with the hand of faith, and then virtue or power came out of Jesus. Hallelujah. She busted a move. She didn't stay in the bed. She got out of bed and got to moving. Her faith had action and movement. According to our actions, we either receive or are kept from receiving. According to our actions, or we can say inaction, we receive or are kept from receiving. Now let's look at something in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. I'm reading out of Amplified Classic because it bears it out a little bit more clearer and crisper here. Everybody get some out of this tonight? See what he says, verse 14. I'll start verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14, Amplified Classic. He says, What is the use or profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if they have no good to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you says to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well-fed, without giving him the necessities for the body, and what good does that do? So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds of and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead. But if someone will say to you then, you say you have faith and I have good works, now show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can. And I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as make a man's hair stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless? Was not our forefather Abraham shown to be justified, made acceptable to God by his works, when he brought to the altar as an offering his own son Isaac? You see that his faith was operating with his works, and his faith was completed in reaching its supreme expression when he implemented it by good works. And so the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed in, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God, and this was accounted to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will in thought and deed, and he is called God's friend. You see that a man is justified, pronounced righteous before God through what he does, and not alone through faith, through works of obedience as well as what he believes. So also with Rahab the harlot, was she not shown to be justified or pronounced righteous before God by good deeds when she took the scouts, the spies, and sent them out by a different route? For as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from its works of obedience is also dead. Praise the Lord. So we see the principles and patterns that locate and identify where our faith is at. So someone says, where's your faith at? Well, James gives us three locations or three identifications of your faith. Three locations or three identifications of your faith. First of all, your faith can be dead faith. What is dead faith? Dead faith is head faith. It's intellectual faith. It's only mental assent, mental agreement. Verbal faith without corresponding actions of obedience is insufficient. It will not save, it will not serve or stand faithfully during the process, the faith process, and it will never survive the storms and tests of faith. we often say it this way, the faith to step out is worthless, or even you can say speak out and step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Second is demon faith. Second location or identification of faith is demonic faith or demon faith. This is emotional faith. This is a folks that says yes and amen in church and a loud hallelujah during times of comfort and on the couch, usually with a remote or their phone in their hand, and they're being lazy. It's easy to say amen, praise the Lord, when you're watching somebody else preach and do it. But when you're facing your own crisis, does your faith disappear in disbelief? Does it defect and depart from the faith and operate in dismay and despair out of fear? This is emotional faith. You're high on Sunday, but on Monday you're in the ditch. Third is dynamic faith. This is real, genuine heart faith. Faith that is seen and faith that is heard. Faith that is confident, courageous, consistent, and fearless. Because a lot of people say, I got faith, but the first onset of a financial challenge or crisis, they fall apart and they stress out. Some people say, I got faith, and when the healing, a healing or health crisis or an emotional crisis comes upon their landscape of their life, they flake out and they fall out and they call out. And then as they say in the octagon, in the UFC arena, they tap out. Get me out of here. You got to have fun when you preach. Okay, so the woman with the issue of blood said it and she acted upon it. She said it and she acted upon it. Then she touched his clothes. She just didn't say, I'm going to touch his clothes. She said, if I touch his clothes, I'm healed. And then her faith moved her feet, not just her mouth. Step number three is receive it. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? We're almost done. We got two more points, this point and another point. We're getting ready to close. Praise God. Somebody just lift your hands and thank God. Come on now. This is rich stuff. Rich stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it. Everybody say receive it. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She's a good receiver. Faith is a good receiver. Now, hope's a poor waiter. I mean, a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Because many people hope to be well and hope and wish to get better physically and or mentally or emotionally, depending on what's going on or what's damaging in their life right now. They hope to get better, but they don't shift that hope to faith. Because faith is a receiver. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, at the moment you pray, he said, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So people say, well, when do I get to have healing? When do I get my healing? When you believe that you received your healing. No, wait a minute, Pastor, that don't sound right. Yes, you have to believe that you receive it before you have it. That means you got to believe that you got it before you get it manifested in your life. Because most people want to hope to feel better or hope that the healing manifests instantly instead of just believing that you receive it. Now, when you receive something, you take it. So if this was a gift and I gave it to you, you would reach up in this case and in this context, you would reach up in faith and take it and then say what? Thank you. It's mine now. I have it. Now, like we said last week, all physical healing is spiritual. You can just say it the other way as well, in your emotional or mental arena. If you got some things going on in your mind, you don't think right, you got some, maybe some wire or short-circuited, that you have a tendency or a proclivity to be negative or have nasty thoughts. Or, as you say, some people label this phrase, narcissistic thoughts. So, if you have those thoughts, then you need to change them. Then, you know, again, God's healing for that is spiritual first. All physical, mental, or emotional healing is spiritual. So if you're receiving it by faith, and we're talking about faith for healing, you receive faith is a spiritual force. It's God-created power. So God's healing will first be received where? In your spirit. Then the power will then be activated and assimilated to go to work in your physical body. It's first spiritual, then it will manifest and move out to be made, you meet me, be made whole in the natural. That's why Mark 11:24, there's no feelings in those verses. God didn't say whatever you feel. He said you have whatever you say.
Amen.
So some people say, I'm waiting to feel healed. So before I say I'm healed, no, you're not in faith. Go back and sit down and study some more and get in the word. Get your faith up. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. She receives. She felt in her body. She was healed of that plague. Receiving is taking it by faith. Faith gives action to the power of God. In this case, her faith activated the Lord's healing power and virtue, and she took it and received it into her body. See, the healing anointing, when received by faith, will affect the healing. And it will activate the healing power. Faith gives action to the power of God. In this case, healing power or delivering power. No power, that means there's no faith. Because power is everywhere. Present. Healing always comes, but it's not always for faith. Because faith sometimes becomes rarities in religious circles. Because people don't believe. They just want to feel and see, then they'll believe. But you got to believe, then feelings will follow your faith. Man, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen right now. So faith, healing and anointing is received by faith. It will affect the healing and bring out a cure and that undoes and dismantles anything sickness or Satan has done in your body. Now remember, we said last week, God's healthcare plan is higher and supersedes any other health care in existence. So if he says, I'm the healer of all your deeds, God made all the body parts and he made them all good.
Amen.
And functional. So when you say, doctor, Lord God, my doctor, I take my healing. He's going to give you something new. He's not going to give you a refurbished part.
Amen.
Come on now. He's not going to give you something left over and says, well, this works sometime. This had to come back to the factory. He can give you new bones.
Amen.
He can give you new tendons. He can give you new eyeballs. Come on now. He can give you new lungs. He can give you new livers. He can give you new kidneys. He can give you new pancreas. Come on now. Somebody said, praise the Lord. But it's the hand of faith that reaches up and receives and takes the blessing. Now, faith takes healing now. Acts 10:38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth, read that Amplified Class, with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. He went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Remember, friends, grace makes, but faith takes. What does faith take? Faith takes what God, by his grace, has made available for us to receive. And he said in his benefits, I heal all of your diseases.
Hallelujah. Praise.
He forgives all of our iniquities. And so all those diagnoses and those long words that you can't hardly pronounce and describe, that the doctor said, this is what's going on. You don't have to care about what God's healed me from all of my diseases. Come on now. He heals me of all my diseases. Come on now. By whose stripes you were healed. Come on now. You weren't healed waiting to get healed. Now you have been healed when Jesus Christ got his stripes on his back. There's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. Short story before we close this out. Brother Hagin said, I have no special anointing left. He was ministering to a lady who was in a wheelchair, who had been in a wheelchair for over a year and 6 months or so, somewhere around there, over 18 months. And she said, I'm crippled. And I can't even get up for myself. I can't do any work around the house. And so she's feeling pretty pitiful. And he just opened his Bible, 1 24. He said, read it. Read it out loud. Why? Because you can school yourself in faith. She read it. And he said, read it again. Then he said, read it again. And then he asked her a question. Just locate her faith, because your confessions rule you. What you say matters big time. It locates or limits your faith, where your faith is at. So she said, he said this. He said, were past tense, present tense, or future tense? She said, that's past tense. And then she got a revelation. She said, well, if I was healed, then. Now, he had to hold her in faith, the faith arena, because she, you know, the devil will come in and make you slip back in down to the feelings. Just like we did when he was on the bed of affliction. And when he believed and received, and the devil told him, the devil's a busy devil. He's a bad devil. He told him, reach up and feel your heart. It ain't better. He had to slap his own hand away. Because the devil wants you to feel and see if you're healed. And then he robs you through doubt and disbelief. And he negates your faith. Because you want to feel and see. His heart was still beating. He said, off tilted. But he had believed that he received. So he slapped his hand down and said, I'm not going to do it. 17 years old, he learned the principles of faith. He said, I refuse to doubt. Somebody said, glory to God. So anyway, this one woman got up in the wheelchair. He kept her in the faith arena. And he said, now, my sister, because you are healed. Now she's in faith, and he's in faith, because he didn't have no special anointing. He wasn't moving by the gifts of the Spirit. He said, because you are healed. Now she had been in a wheelchair, struck by a wheelchair 18 months or more. And he said, because you are healed, lift both hands and thank God that you are healed. Now what did I say earlier? If you believe that you received from God your healing in this particular context, you would thank him for it. So when you receive it, you say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she lifted both hands and said, oh, Lord, I'm so glad I'm healed. I'm so glad I don't have to be a cripple anymore. Ooh, I'm so glad I can get up and cook breakfast and do stuff around the house. I don't have to be waited on anymore. So he got corporate faith involved. He had everybody in the church. So, all right, let's lift our hands and thank God with her. And everybody in the church started corporate faith, adding their faith to her, and began to thank God with her that she was healed. She's still in the wheelchair. Now he turned around and said to her, he said, now my sister, rise up and walk. She got up out of that wheelchair and ran around the church. Come on now. Somebody said, glory to God. She got up and ran around the church. Faith gives action to the power. When we receive, then we will act on the word. Amen. Praise God. And we will see the manifestation of his word. Praise God. Faith is a good receiver. Somebody say, glory to God. See, too many people. Now notice the feelings and the healing. feelings and the healing followed the saying and the acting. She didn't feel it until she said it and then acted. Too many people want the feeling and the healing first, and then they think they will have to say it and do it. It doesn't work that way. You have to be saying it and doing it first. Then you'll have the feeling and the healing.
Amen.
Now the last one, we'll close. Brother Steve's gonna come. Praise God. Let's just thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So fourth step, number four. We're on fourth step. Real short. Tell it. Say it. Do it. Receive it. Then tell it. You can receive from God anywhere, anytime, or for anything with these four steps. This is worth, you come when you hear, this is worth $1 million worth of therapy. Come on now. This is worth 1,000 hours of trying to figure it out.
Amen.
Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. Now, Mark 5:23, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the whole truth. She acknowledged what she had done. She told the whole truth. She testified of her faith and gave glory to God. God wants us to tell it so that others might receive. The first step is to say it. The fourth step is to tell it. There's a difference there. At first, the woman said what she believed. Then she told what had happened. We have to say some things in faith before we ever receive them from God. Amen. Praise God. We'll stop right there. Father God, we thank you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.